Hello, today we are going to see control of critical processes in a hospital in quality management in healthcare. There are seven important hospital processes that tend to be problematic or irritating for the patients. So, they must be mapped out and controlled. Now, let us see what are these seven important hospital processes. 1. Hospital admission, stay and discharge process, typical hospital admission process. Emergency room operations, so whenever there is an emergency, the patient is wheeled in an emergency room, operations takes place over there, emergency room operations. Transfers to other hospitals, yes, the transfers to other hospitals, if a particular treatment is not proper or they require super specialty hospital, transfer happens. Medication process, medical documentation, record maintenance, OPD records, IPD records, supply of the drugs, what is the, how is the inventory being supplied, what are the diseases, on that basis which are the antibiotics or which are the, you know, drugs which are to be supplied. Patient flow, how is the patient flow, entry, exit, how much amount of bed, OPD, IPD, if IPD, how much amount of bed occupancy, operations, procedures, all those patient flow comes into the patient flow. So, all these seven important hospital process need to be mapped. Let's go one by one. Process number one, hospital admission, stay and discharge process. In admitting the patients, the back office workflow, admission process often has to go from desk to desk, which means longer wait time and more hassles for the patients. Automating admission process can save time, improve the patient experience and generally enhance effective operational procedures. Obviously, you are automating the repetitive ways, repetitive methods. Patient reports to the reception of the hospital. Front office executive inquires about the patient problem. Front office executive refers the patient to the concerned department or doctor. Patient reports there and the concerned doctor investigates the patient's case history. If required, the patient is advised for admission in the hospital. In case of admission, patient is sent to emergency department for initial assessment by the chief medical officer, from where he or she gets the admission request form. Along with the admission request form, patient's attendant is referred to admission and registration counter, except for emergency cases. Admission to the hospital is done once it is recommended by the specialist during the patient's outpatient consultation. Before the admission, patient is counseled by the front office executive regarding the treatment package, which includes estimated bill size, average length of the stay, various modes of payment accepted like cash, credit card, debit card, DD. Typically, personal checks are not accepted. With online transfer is also acceptable. Documents required for admission under cashless facility. Yeah, many hospitals, they have a cashless facility because of the insurance schemes that they, you know, have. When the patient arrives at the ward with the coordinator, the ward staff will educate the patient to the ward and the facilities available. So, he will actually show that, okay, these are the facilities and, you know, these are the various ways and techniques to navigate, where are the different departments and etc. Patient will then be reassessed by the ward RMO. So, these are typically the junior doctors who are present in the hospital. This involves taking a detailed medical history and ordering of tests if necessary. During the patient's stay in the hospital, he or she will be attended by a team of doctors comprising of medical specialist, assisted by medical officer. So they are all junior doctors, you know, learning different things under the junior medical specialist. Every care is taken in respect of patient care, treatment, conservative, surgical, meals, dress and health recovery. So everything is taken care of, all the patient care, treatment and is looked after, patient is looked after, how it is comfortable, etc. Once he is made, the patient is made stable, then the daily routine in the ward includes activities such as ward rounds by the doctors. So in the morning the doctors will come, afternoon, evening, so they will have their own ward rounds, medication, sometimes different consultants can come, okay, medication, then meals, visiting hours and bedtime. Typically the relatives also have visiting hours, so they will also come on their particular time. However, this routine may vary as lab tests, x-ray, treatment and other procedures will take place when required. So as per the suggestion of the specialist, you can call him, he may give an indication to the x-ray technician to come and take the x-ray, or he may tell the CT scan person to come and take the CT scan, or different procedures, bedside procedures, you know. So for all kind of diagnostics and therapeutic procedures, informed consent is being taken as per hospital policy, because it is a prime important thing that patient should be aware about this informed consent, that patient is consenting that I am ready to undergo all the procedures. Patient's medical records and information on their medical condition are confidential. This information will be shared with the patient and the next of kin. Like for example, a patient and his mother, father or daughter or wife or whatever. If the immediate family members like mother, father or family wish to know more about the patient's condition, they can approach the appropriate coordinator to arrange for convenient time to meet the concerned doctor. See, we have to understand that doctors are very busy, okay, and the patient should also respect the time of doctor, because the doctor is going to give them plentiful of information regards their particular topic of disease. But there is a way to address or to go to the doctor. This way is through a coordinator. So patient provides a request to the coordinator to get a meeting with the doctor, and then coordinator, on the basis of availability of the doctor, he proposes one meeting date. Safety and the well-being of the patient is of utmost concern. Patients are advised to remain within the hospital premises until they are discharged by the concerned doctor. A discharge summary certificate will be given to the patient before leaving the ward. In case the patient needs a medical certificate, he or she has to inform the doctor or the nurse in advance so that it can be prepared both before the patient leaves. So you have to either inform the doctor or the nurse to get a patient, to get a discharge certificate prepared, because other then they can, the patient can leave the hospital. Sometimes patient can also be discharged against medical advice, because if a patient feels that he or she is not being taken good care, and if he has some doubts in case of his mind that, you know, he is not getting proper treatment, he can opt for discharge. But at that time the hospital may not give him this discharge summary certificate. So discharge, they may give you a discharge summary certificate, but then it will be written discharge against medical advice, that is DAMA. Okay, so that is one another angle to this discharge summary certificate. The nurse will hand over the signed discharge summary, which includes doctor's advice on their further follow-up treatment, Like for example, come after and, you know, come after for consultation for 2 months, or maybe take this XYZ drugs for 7 days, morning, afternoon, night, you know, all those dose and complete information of the drugs, how to take, what to take. Daily routine diet, because if it's a diabetic person, then what is the diet to be followed, etc. And medication prescription and other relevant documents at the time of discharge. Like for example, they may have done some CT scans or X-rays, any other lab test. So all the reports are collected. So along with the discharge summary, you have the supportings. The doctor signs the discharge sheet of the patient. Final bill is prepared at the billing office. The patient and attendants are informed about the interim bills on a daily basis. The patient has to settle all his bills at the time of discharge. Process number 2, emergency room operations. An emergency department, also known as an accident and emergency department, A&E, emergency room, ER, emergency ward, EW, or casualty department. It is a medical treatment facility specializing in emergency medicine, acute care of patients who present without prior appointment, either by their own means or by that of an ambulance. Either suppose the patient is having some problem, acute appendicitis, they can come on their own through their private vehicles or, you know, whatever, whoever can carry them, or it can become through an ambulance. Emergency department is usually found in a hospital or any other primary care center. So, emergency room is always there. To successfully complete the emergency room processes, many hospitals have to go through overwhelming tasks. Why? Because the core processes have to be connected with the registration and check-in sections, ER physicians and specialists. If these processes are not streamlined, patient may end waiting too long for a treatment. And that is correct, because emergency, as the name suggests, emergency is quick, so immediate response. If tomorrow, if the patient comes in a hospital and he is made to sit, wait, he is having appendicitis, strong attack of appendicitis, he is vomiting, he's got a perforated appendix, he is vomiting, he has got fever, high grade fever, you can't make him wait in the corridor, right? You have to put him in the emergency room. But if this process is not clear, like registration, check-in, ER physicians and specialists, if those stakeholders are not connected, poor patient will be in the casualty only. He may not go into emergency room. Due to the unplanned nature of the patient attendance, because patient can come anytime. He can come at night 12 a.m. or he can come at 3 a.m. in the morning also. Department must provide initial treatment for a broad spectrum of illness and injuries, some of which may be life-threatening and require immediate attention. In some countries, emergency departments have been important entry points for those without other means of access to medical care. Yes, emergency department is a very fantastic way to convert emergency illness into a, you know, a very good relief for the patient. And that is why these are the entry points which have become very, very, very important in a developed country as well. The emergency departments of most hospitals operate 24 hours a day, although staffing levels may be varied in an attempt to reflect to the patient volume. So, department will be open 24/7, but staffing levels will be different. For example, critical conditions handled would be cardiac arrest, heart attack, trauma, mental illness, asthma and chronic obstructive pulmonary diseases. All these diseases are very, very important, because they can give rise to emergency situation in a patient. Special facilities, training and equipment, an ED, emergency department, requires different equipments and different approaches than most other hospital divisions. Patients frequently arrive with unstable conditions and so must be treated very quickly. They may be unconscious, and if they are unconscious, the information like medical history, allergies, blood type may be unavailable. So at that time, the ED staff has to depend upon relatives, asking them, but they are trained to work quickly and effectively, even with minimal information. So a protocol is already set up in an emergency department. If all those conditioned patient comes, what is the treatment for all those things is already there. So once the diagnosis is made, accordingly treatment starts till the senior doctor comes into picture. Emergency department staff must also interact efficiently with pre-hospital care providers such as EMTs, paramedics and others who are occasionally based in an emergency department. The pre-hospital providers may use equipment unfamiliar to the average physician, but emergency department physicians must be expert in using and safely removing specialized equipment. So this is very, very important, because there are some central venous catheters there, because if the blood pressure drops, the central venous catheter has to be inserted through the vein over in the neck, and it has to be passed directly into the heart. And then, all the medicines are given directly over there. But this incision and passing has to be done under a very, very, very important supervision. And that is why these people should be expert. Cardiac arrest and major trauma are relatively common emergency rooms. So, defibrillators, automatic ventilation and CPR machines, and bleeding control dressings are used heavily. So all these, defibrillators, automatic ventilation and CPR are used very, very, very heavily, because those are the instruments which can bring life to the patients. Survival in such cases is greatly enhanced by shortening the wait for key interventions, and in recent years some of this specialized equipment has spread to pre-hospital settings. So important is technology, importance is instruments, importance is those instruments like defibrillators, automatic ventilation, which can reduce the waiting time and quick relief to be provided to the patients. Of course, such instruments will be handled by some very good technical guys or knowledgeable persons. Transfer to other hospitals. Patients who need to be transferred to other hospitals may end up experiencing delays due to lack of reliable workflow or collaboration system between the hospitals for inter-hospital and sub-acute care referrals and transfers. Obviously, because see, there is a situation, or there is a problem or issue where a person wants to be transferred from one hospital to another hospital, because there are a lot of issues and risks are there. Because first of all, what is the patient, which condition is the patient which has to be transferred, why is he being transferred, is there a financial problem because of which he is transferred, is there an history of any AIDS or autoimmune disease for which he is transferred, what is the issue? Because on that issue, the other hospital will take it. Because there may be chances, if the patient is transferred for some financial reasons, like he cannot pay the bill, No other hospital may also take him, because if that reason is conveyed. So that is why there are all, you know, issues. Decision to transfer the patient is important because of exposure of the patient and the staff to additional risk and additional expense for the relative in a hospital. Obviously, you have to manage a cardiac ambulance, the doctor should be there, he should go with the patient. If the patient is on ventilator, the doctor should continuously, you know, press ambu bag and provide the oxygen. So a lot of things are there, so all these things has to be managed. The decision to transfer the patient is taken by a senior consultant level doctor after thorough discussion with the patient relatives about the benefit and risk involved. So typically, the patient's relatives make a stand that, okay, we want to get the patient transferred. Then they go and visit the senior consultant who is attending that patient. Then the senior consultant explains the relatives that, look, this is his condition. If you transfer, the condition may deteriorate. Still, this is the risk when you are transferring, and this is the benefit from the transfer. And then the patient relatives take the call. A proper and meticulous preparation and stabilization of the patient should be done before transfer to prevent any adverse events or deterioration in the patient's clinical condition. So this is very, very important, because what happens is treatment of a patient would be very good in hospital, but in matters of transport, the same quality of the treatment of the patient may not be expected or may not be there in the transfer process through the ambulance. That is why the patient has to be made stable before transfer. The patient should be adequately resuscitated and stabilized to the maximum extent possible without wasting undue time. See, once the decision of transfer is done, then the doctor should not wait for much time. He should start stabilizing the patient and then simultaneously start working on the transfer issues or transfer requests of the patient. During the preparation, patients A, B, C, D, very important, A, B, C, D, airway, whether his airway is fettered, is blocked, what is the status of the trachea, of the endotracheal tube in the trachea, breathing, how is his breathing, how is the respiratory rate, how is the oxygen saturation, circulation, how is the respiratory rate, pulse, BP, disability should be checked, and any associated preventable problems should be corrected. The use of pre-transfer checklist is useful in this context. See, what happens is, you are going to transfer a patient, right? But then, we have to understand the basics maintenance of ABCD, airway, breathing, circulation and disability, or disease, or whatever is the extent of the disease. And for that, a pre-transfer checklist is important. Mode of transfer. Two most common modes of transfer are ground transport, inclusion of the ambulance and mobile intensive care units, and air transport, helicopter or aeroplane ambulance. So it depends what you want to have, aeroplane ambulance or mobile intensive care units or air transport or whatever. So these are two, aerial and ground transport. Accompanying the patient, it is usually recommended to have at least two competent personnel. It can be a doctor and nurse accompanying the patient to be transferred. The care required by each patient during the transfer depends on the level of patient's critical care dependency. That is absolutely correct, because if the patient is critical, then the care required will be huge. A proper monitoring with the provision of all life-saving drugs is mandatory for transfer of all patients with critical care needs. The transfer ambulance must be equipped with all the drugs and instruments. Absolutely. If there are no drugs and instruments, then that ambulance is futile. Medication process. Medication error is a major concern for hospital administrators. Patient safety is often contingent on correct and timely administration of treatment. With several medications at their disposal, health professionals may err or may go wrong in the type and the dosage of medication administered. A medication error is a failure in treatment process that leads to or has the potential to lead to harm to the patient. So we have to understand that medication errors are very, very important, and all the doctors, they may have some problems because a lot of medicines are at their disposal, so they may, you know, make some mistakes. But that mistake can be very painful and can lead to even the death of the patient. What are the types of medication errors? Let's see. In deciding which medicine and which dosage regimen to use, prescribing faults, irrational, inappropriate and ineffective prescribing, under prescribing, over prescribing, writing the prescription, that is prescription errors including illegibility. There are many, if you see a typical prescription of a doctor, he has to mention the name of the patient, Rx, that means treat thou, and then he used to write all the doctor, I mean to say the brand names along with generics, then, you know, what is the dose, what is the strength of that medicine, say maybe 500 milligram or whatever, 250 milligram or 80 milligram or 0.8 milligram or whatever, and then morning, afternoon, night, one dose, two dose, and time for 1 month, etc. See, if this whole thing is mentioned, then and then only the patient understands what has to be taken by that. And more, after writing the prescription, the doctor should explain. Actually, the pharmacist can understand, but it's always better to know the patient to be knowing all these things. If in writing all these things there is a wrong strength or contaminants or adulterants or wrong or misleading packaging, it can happen. Sometimes doctor under prescribe or over prescribe. They think why we should do not necessary bother. So even that can also occur. And sometimes to promote a brand, they start over prescribing. So all these medication errors should be avoided. These are the list of all the medication errors that you can see. Wrong drug, wrong formulation, wrong label, administrating or taking the medicine, wrong dose, wrong route, wrong frequency, wrong duration, monitoring therapy, failing to alter the therapy when required, erroneous alteration. Like for example, a doctor wants to switch the therapy from IV to oral. So maybe he wants to switch after 2 days. So IV injections, maybe a course of iron or vitamin injections for 7 days, and then he wants to switch to the oral tablets. He may do wrongly. He may say only 3 days, and then he may tell to switch. So that is all wrong thing. So monitoring therapy also should be proper. Medication processes can be classified as knowledge, rule action, and memory based errors. So the errors can be classified as knowledge based errors, rule action based errors, and memory based errors. Medication errors can occasionally be serious, so it's important to detect them. Reporting of errors should be encouraged by creating a blame-free, non-punitive environment. So there should not be any hatred, nor should there be any blame game, but it should be considered positively, because you are reporting a wrong thing just because you don't want the patient satisfaction and the patient treatment to be compromised. Medical documentation, very important. medical record documentation is required to record pertinent facts, findings and observations about a veteran's health history, including past and present illnesses, examinations, tests, treatment and outcomes. So, medical record documentation is a very important part. The record documents take care of the patient and is an important element contributing to the high quality care. Obviously, because you are maintaining the records, you are maintaining the quality of the records, so anybody, you know, can check behind records and understand that, you know, XYZ medicine was given in this particular situation. That's a very good data base for the bank, data bank. An appropriately documented medical record can reduce many of the hassles associated with claims processing. The more clear the record, the more better the claims processing and less hassles in the claims processing. Because all these claims are related to the medical records. Because all these claims, people, they process the claims, they go through all these extensively through these medical records. If they are not maintained properly, the patient may lose on this activity. Apart from that, if there is some issue or problem or medical legal case, this medical record can serve as a legal document to verify the care provided. Especially in medical legal case, accident cases, you know, there are a lot of this kind of medical record maintenance is required. With documentation of medical records, particular emphasis must be placed on 5 factors that improve the quality and usefulness of chartered information. What are the 5 factors? Accuracy, relevance, completeness, timelines, confidentiality. Accuracy is important because your document should be accurate. Relevant, yes, your document should be relevant to that particular case. Complete, yes, the document should be complete. Timelines, yes, the timelines should be proper. Confidentiality should be maintained. Supply of the drugs. Hospitals should have drugs easily available. But unfortunately, that's not usually the case for some patients. Managing the supply process manually can lead to inefficient operations and unproductive utilization of time and resources. By automating supply, storage and inventory of medication, errors and drug shortages would be minimized, thereby improving the patient experience. So, hospitals should be have the drugs, but they should be easily available, and managing the supply process should be also done very properly. If you can automate, less errors. It can be done as follows. Determine the inventories to be kept in retail stores. Retail stores need to report what they sold on a daily basis. They do not need to place any orders. What regional distribution center will do is to replenish what they sold. So, retail stores will only do a report, but regional distribution center will do its replenish what they have sold. By doing this, we are minimizing the order lead time drastically. Regional distribution centers will quickly replenish what they have sold to the retail stores, and every day they will report to central distribution center what they have dispatched to the retail stores. Patient flow. Delays in patient flow aren't uncommon in hospitals. While bed availability and system capacity can determine the patient flow, delays are often caused by the process issue. This process issue may include inappropriate ward placement, delayed diagnosis decision, lack of consensus between ED and ward on appropriate inpatient admission, lack of bed availability due to delayed discharge of inpatients, etc. So, all these are the processes. Okay. So, this is the patient flow problems or issues which may happen. Following actions can be taken to solve the problem. Putting an end to long stays in the emergency department, timely discharge, smoothing the patient flow in operation suites. Surgeries should spread evenly throughout the week. Timetable management of the surgery should be proper. Improving admission process. The admission process should be improved drastically. Thank you.